afternoon, everybody. Welcome into the program. It is Betting Across America presented by BetMGM. I'm Mike Pritchard out in Las Vegas, Nevada. James Salinas is with us as well out in Denver, Colorado. And via Skype, the legend, VSiN host and legendary sports broadcaster Brent Musburger. Welcome to the program. Brent, how are you?
I'm fine, Mike. How you doing, my man? Did you ever think you'd see a day when we'd have an NFL franchise calling Las Vegas its home, about to open up a beautiful new stadium, Allegiant Stadium here in Las Vegas? I still, you know, I kind of have to pinch myself to see if it's really true. You know what I mean, Mike?
I do. Growing up here from Vegas myself, and not in a million years, Brent, did I imagine this would happen, but we have it. We have the National Football League here in Vegas, partnered up with Vegas, partnering up with the sports gaming industry as well, and an iconic moment with an iconic franchise right here in this iconic city. So could you give us that perspective? I mean, one, I don't think anybody thought that this would happen, but now that it's here, just put that in a few words, if you would, please.
Well, you know, the only thing we're going to miss, Mike and James, is not having fans in the stands. Yeah. I mean, I have done road games, actually, out of Allegiant remotely by using the feed as it was from CBS to the Carolina game. That will be a little distracting for me tonight to look down on the on this. Let me just tell you, everyone, whether you're going to a football game or a concert or what, you're going to love Allegiant Stadium. And when we come back out of this pandemic in Las Vegas, Allegiant Stadium is going to be at the forefront. There's going to be major conventions. There's going to be major entertainment shows that are going to want to go into that stadium. They did a spectacular job with it, okay? So once I get beyond the fact that we got 65,000 empty seats down there, you focus in on the game at hand. It's somewhat humorous to me, anyhow, that the Saints come marching in from New Orleans. So we've got New Orleans open the venue here at Las Vegas, and away we will go. Now, the Saints are favored for a reason. I mean, they're one of the teams picked to go to the Super Bowl out of the NFC, very well coached. They've got a Hall of Famer under center in Drew Brees. So it's going to be all hands on deck. Once the game gets started, I will be deeply, deeply involved in the game. I was over at the stadium earlier today, and it's interesting. There are some tailgaters showing up early, some of Raider Nation. I even saw some of the Houdat fans out there in their jerseys. They're going to be watching over at our great casinos, whether it's the book down South Point. They're all around town. People are going to be here watching the game. And this is a city where you have to make a bet. And it's interesting. To me, this is like the Vegas Golden Knights when they opened up here. Everybody wanted to have a ticket on that first game, mm-hmm. whether it was a $20 ticket or a $2,000 ticket. Then they would take a picture and they would frame it. This is opening night. This is going on all around Vegas because I saw over at the Westgate a short time ago, they dropped that line to 3.5. That means enormous amount of money is coming in on the Raiders because, you know, it was 5.5. I think the graphic that we've got up there right now, I know it's circa. It's at 4 points, the Saints' favorite. Everybody wants to have a ticket on this game, if you know what I mean.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Hey, Brent, James Salinas out here in Denver. Great to talk to you again. So I'm curious. So looking for nuggets, I'm looking at leaning towards the over in this game tonight. I don't like the Raiders defense. There's a number of reasons involved, but always looking to try to find little nuggets that might convince you to play a certain side. And so this morning I'm looking at San Francisco yesterday and the amount of injuries that they had. And they attributed a lot of that to the new turf that was put on the field out there at MetLife Stadium. Now, so I did a little homework this morning to see about, well, what kind of turf are they going to have at Allegiant Stadium? And it's interesting, correct me if I'm wrong, please, that I think they're using two fields. They're going to use a grass field, natural grass for the Raiders games, and then when the UNLV Running Rebels play there, they're going to use a synthetic field. So, number one, is that correct? And then two, I'm curious, have you heard anything from the players about the surface there? Number one, from a health standpoint, obviously, but also, is it a little faster? Not that because you feel like it's a faster field, I'm going to bet an over, but little nuggets can go a long way. I'm just curious about your perspective that you've heard from the players about the actual playing surface at Allegiant Stadium.
Listen, James, you're right on when it comes to the over, okay? The Saints should be able to move the ball on the Raiders defense, which had a lot of difficulty with Bridgewater and the Carolina Panthers a week ago. But John Gruden will move the ball tonight, too, even though the Saints are armed with a very, very underrated secondary. That's one of the better secondaries in the NFL. Okay, credit owner Mark Davis for what I'm about to tell you. He insisted upon a grass field for the Raiders. Now, he had seen down in Arizona where the turf, the natural grass, is pushed outside when the Cardinals aren't playing. There it can, of course, be in the sunlight, and also they can water it, okay? So the same kind of installation was installed at Allegiant. And marked them by anybody else, no college teams, nobody else playing on it. So there is an artificial turf down underneath, okay, that will be used. It's rolled up for this game tonight, by the way. I don't want you to indicate that it's right underneath the grass. It's not. That artificial surface for UNLV is rolled up. I watched them do it the other day, actually. And then they store that during our games. The field is pushed in, okay, and it is a surface that is ready to go on. Cannot give you a read as to whether it's faster or slower simply because they haven't played on it yet, okay? They've had a couple of walkthrough practices over there, and that's about it. We won't know until after the game. But I have never heard a lot of complaints about the natural grass down in Arizona. I've done bowl games on that surface. I've actually done pro football games down there, and I've never heard any complaints about the surface. I would expect the same thing to be the case here. And if you watch Kyler Murray cut on it yesterday, it is a fast surface. But then again, Kyler Murray is elite. You know, he can cut and run. So we'll have to wait and see. But I do lean to you. I think the over-under, somebody said on VSiN earlier today, I wasn't paying a whole lot of attention, but I think they said that the over-under had come down a little bit. Might have been Michael Lombardi on the Lombardi line. I agree with you on the over. At 5.5, I honestly think the Raiders were a decent play. It's like the Giants. You could still lose a game, but they stayed in there, and they got the ATS against the Chicago Bears yesterday. There's a lot of questions, a lot of injury questions around the league. I know that they're in Denver where you are. They, along with the 49ers, the Broncos were decimated. In fact, I read that your young quarterback is going to miss 2 or 3 weeks. We'll have to see about that. Honestly, to tell you the truth, I don't read a whole lot into this stadium criticism as much as I do the lack of training and the lack of preseason games, okay? I'm not sure that the NFL was ready for the kind of contact that you experience once a game starts. And I've heard old-timers from time immemorial say that there should be more contact in preparation because that helps you get ready, makes you more fit. And, of course, the Players Association has battled that. So we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, Brant, I agree with you. I think from a football shape standpoint, these guys are not in football shape. You have to have contact. You have to put that your body through that in order to handle the force and the torque because a lot of these injuries are happening because of that. I mean, an awkward stance or you get hit wrong way or certainly if you cut the wrong way as well. We know that you're a very busy man, and we are so thankful for your time today on the show, Betting Across America. Have a great call tonight and enjoy the game.
Thanks, guys. Always glad to talk to you. Good luck.
Thank you very much. Brent Musburger, the legend, sports caster, and certainly VSiN host, and so vital to VSiN and this network. So, James, take it away. I mean, Brent Musburger on the show, he gave us some tips and certainly some nuggets there to keep an eye on for this game tonight.
Well, and I agree with Brent. There's issues on the offensive side at right tackle for the Raiders with Brown being out, and his backup is hurt as well. Josh Jacobs, I mean, he's really front and center, the go-to man for this offense, I think, to establish not only the ground game, he's fully capable of receiving the ball out of the backfield too, but really to set the identity. What is the identity of the Raiders? I think Gruden wants them to be a power football running team. They definitely have the offensive line, minus Brown there on the right tackle, who's just a mammoth of a man that loves to road grade and pancake folks out there on the run game. But I think he wants to establish their identity as a running team. I really like Josh Jacobs. He's a tremendous runner, shifty, strong, tough, runs hard, runs through people. He likes to initiate contact. Love the kid's backstory as well. So I think he's just a hungry player. But definitely a lot of questions on that defensive side, being able to stop anybody, being able to apply any pressure on the quarterback. I don't know how they're going to get to Breeze. I know there was was some frustration last week in their game against Carolina that Teddy Bridgewater was getting the ball out of his hands quickly, and they weren't able to really get a pass rush, and they're going to have to try to get their hands up in passing lanes. And we know Drew Brees, especially with Michael Thomas not being there, he's going to be, I suspect, really quick to get the ball out of his hands. Not a whole lot of deep dropbacks and hanging on to the football. So I don't know how they're going to apply pressure. Again, that's why I kind of really feel like that's, I don't like the size. And I think we saw yesterday in the NFL, a lot of big favorites. I think for teaser players and money line players, when it came to the favorites, they cashed. But if you were playing those favorites consistently above, try to beat that number, a lot of backdoor covers yesterday and sitting this number, whether it's 4.5 or 5, I have it out here at 5 in Colorado.
Wow.
It's not a game that I want to touch on the favorite. It's not a game I want to touch on the favorite just because the back door is open. And I do think the Raiders have the capacity, if they are down by a couple scores, to get a late garbage touchdown.
Yeah, you know, Brent said that Raider money's coming in. I mean, imagine not only Saints fans coming to Las Vegas, but you have Raider Nation coming to Vegas too, from L.A. or the Rocky Mountain region or all over the world, really. I mean, this is one of those franchises in the National Football League that draws a lot of interest. So people are coming to Vegas, enjoying themselves, also putting up that wager too. So maybe that's why the line movement has happened. What about that total? Are you interested in that at all?
Yeah, and that's where I'm really leaning towards the over there. I just wanted to find out that nugget. I thought it was really interesting when it came to the field. I just naturally assumed it was going to be a synthetic field, and then thinking about what happened in New York yesterday with the 49ers and the amount of folks that went down with that. We know how some of these fields can be, and sometimes they're a little faster. And again, not a huge edge, but any little nugget that you can find, and if you feel like it's a little bit of a speedier field and you're already leaning towards that over, maybe that's going to help convince you to lean to that side or go with that side. I think the Raiders have capacity to be able to move the football somewhat. I don't know how they're going to run the ball, though. I think the Saints haven't allowed a 100-yard rusher in the last 44 games, so definitely a challenge for Josh Jacobs tonight.
Yeah, I agree with you on that, too. You know, you think about the Raiders and the youth at wide receiver. I think Henry Ruggs is probably a game-time decision at this point. I know he was questionable on the injury report, but you have two rookie wide receivers going up against Latimer and Jenkins, and those guys like to get in your face and get physical. So these rookie receivers for the Raiders have not seen anything like that. But then the Raiders also have Waller and Renfrow and Aguilar for the middle of the field, and also Witten. And then you talked about Josh Jacobs' ability to catch the ball out of the backfield. There's where the Raiders are going to have success, I believe, against the Saints defense if they can do that and also run the football too, James. But one of the things that I want to ask you about with this surface, guys have said it's a grass surface, like was mentioned earlier, but then also the Raiders had a couple scrimmages on this surface inside Allegiant Stadium to kind of understand what they're going to be dealing with tonight on Monday Night Football. But whereas the Saints are going to get their first workout right before the game, is there any type of edge that you have found through the years on that?
Well, again, I think it's this is a totally different year. So I think anything that you used to think of prior to pre-COVID days, some of it applies and some of it doesn't, especially since we haven't had preseason games. Week one, offensively, I think teams were challenged just to catch up to the speed of the game as well as the timing in the passing game. But there was a lot of teams that threw the football yesterday, so they're working through that now. They've had a game. Everybody's had a game to play. They've had more time in practice now to be together. So throwing the football, it's just – I'm usually typically in most sports, I usually tend to go under. I kind of bet against human achievement, per se. But in this case now, we're just seeing the NFL, and there's so many points being scored. Part of it's because of the offenses are starting to click now. They're having some time together. But also, these rules are set up for the offense. Pass interference. You can't touch anybody. Quandre Diggs getting tossed out of the game last night. Did he hit him hard and put his helmet into him? Yeah. Does that warrant him getting kicked out of the game? It's one of my pet peeves here. We can discuss that later in the show progresses. But you can't touch some of these guys there. So it allows these offenses to expand their playbook and more crossing routes, a lot more opportunities for big plays down the field. So it's hard for me now in this day and age of the NFL to play unders consistently.
Yeah, I agree with you too. You know, the directive from the National Football League is points means more viewers. More viewers, we help out our TV partners. And you're on Monday Night Football. Certainly, you would love to see the scoreboard be lit up tonight in Las Vegas, too. So maybe when you think about the officiating, too, an angle there for this game. Drew Brees, lack of arm strength, Derek Carr, the narrative that he wants to change, that he can win in big moments and big games. The Raiders need this game. They do, for a lot of reasons. I think they'll get a great effort, and maybe another reason why that line is coming down.
Yeah, I think so. I think as far as effort, like Brent said, nobody in the stands today, so that'll be odd. But got to be excited about moving from Oakland, coming to the new digs down there at Allegiant Stadium. Going to have a full intensity performance tonight. But talent-wise, are they going to be able to match up with the Saints and stop them consistently? I don't think so.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to do that. I mean, the Saints, they are poised and primed for Super Bowl run. Talked to Bobby Hebert today, earlier this morning, and he obviously covers the Saints, played for the Saints, and he thinks this is the most complete Saints team that he has seen, talking about offensively and defensively, too, and not overlooking the Raiders, but they do have a big matchup next week against Green Bay, another showdown there for the Saints. But we're off and running here on Betting Across America. More Betting Across America will continue. James and I are going to talk about the NHL and what happened to Tampa Bay. That's coming up next. Basketball, baseball, and hockey action at BetMGM Sports isn't enough for you. Football is back at BetMGM Sports Nevada, the premier sports betting app from the same folks who bring you the best sportsbook and casino action in Las Vegas. BetMGM has all your favorite wagering options along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much, much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. If you're excited about the return of basketball, baseball, and hockey, then it's time to believe in your game at BetMGM. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be at least 21 years old and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. Welcome back to the program, Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard and James Salinas with you today. And James, I didn't think, this game one situation in the Stanley Cup Finals was going to play out like it did. The Stars capture game one and puts pressure back on Tampa Bay. Your thoughts on that game one performance there, and then certainly the series between two good teams.
Yeah, I mean, it's championship now, right? And we talked about this last week prior to game one. Like, what would there be any pros and cons to the layoff? Because there was different layoff between series for both the Lightning and Dallas. I think Dallas had 4 days of rest prior to getting geared up for game one of the Stanley Cup, and Tampa only had 1 day. So I we talked about it, too, as the number. I like the number. I got it at plus 145. So I didn't do the series. I just did game one. I kind of sensed that this might be a place where maybe Tampa comes out a little lethargic. They didn't bring the best energy. And ultimately, I don't think they really showed up until that third period when they look like the Lightning. Then they look like the speed and the skill. Then it was a tale of really two teams, but maybe they were a little sluggish from that layoff. Now going into tonight, I think they're clearly focused. They know they have to have this game. So don't like to say must wins, because it's not a must win when it's you have to be first one to win four games and Dallas only has one. But I really kind of like the grit of Dallas. I've liked them all throughout the playoffs in the bubble here. That they've had some chances to close out series when they didn't, but they were able to take advantage of it in their last series. The grit, the intensity that they bring on that defensive side, really mucking it up here. I think it's going to be a great game tonight. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch. But this one, I don't have a good feel for which way I want to go. I still lean towards the Dogs, but if the Lightning come out with the energy and the passion that I saw in that third period, it's not a team that I want to get in front of tonight.
Okay, a little bit more respect for Dallas. plus 130 out here in Vegas. You got a total at 5, that key number again. There you go. I agree with what you said. You know, you think about the Stars and who they faced as they got to the Stanley Cup Finals, too. You're facing an Avs team in which they loaded with a ton of talent. Yes, they were banged up, but yet still loaded. And then you face a Knights team, the Las Vegas Golden Knights team, equally as loaded from a talent perspective. And you took care of business there if you're Dallas. And so you're not going to turn away Tampa Bay or certainly think that you're in over your head. You have confidence in your goalie in that situation with Dobin. And certainly you're getting it done with Ben and a physical presence that you have on ice, too. So this game is hard to call. I agree with you on that one. But if you like it, plus 130 for Dallas on the money line, minus 150 for Tampa Bay in a bounce back.
Yeah, I think with this one, I was looking at the total too, but you know, now that it's juiced 30 cents on having to go over, honestly, this is just really a stay away. I'm going to watch it. I'm excited. I love watching playoff hockey. This is going to be an intense series. I think it's going to be a long series. Obviously, Dallas came ready to play in game one. I think Tampa brings it back tonight. So maybe some in-game action. I tend to think kind of lean towards the over, but it's, at this point, I don't want to lay that 30-cent juice.
Yeah, you've been great on the end game as well, though. I mean, you pick up game one, you had plus 145 intuition there. And then in game two, you kind of been all over that when it comes to hockey this year.
Yeah, it's sometimes it's just feeling. You get a sense of when you're watching a game, and that's the beauty of having the technology and the opportunity, especially now here in Colorado, that we have so many operators that sports betting is legal here, that I can have multiple apps open or multiple books open on my desktop and really look for good numbers and then watch the game and see, like tonight, I don't have a good feel for where this is going to go. I suspect that Tampa is going to come out with great energy, like we said, and probably win this contest, but I don't want to lay that number, and I don't feel comfortable just where this game is. But being able to watch a game in game, have a better sense of it is, I think both teams will come ready to play, but sometimes you just see some edges watching these games. So it's key as a sports bettor to have that in your arsenal when it comes to in-game betting.
Absolutely. And I love the apps too. I was all over the apps on Sunday watching NFL football. As we get along with the show, Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM, we're going to dive right back into the National Football League. That's coming up next. How did your football betting go this weekend? As you know, there's always room to improve your sports betting IQ, and VSiN is here to help you bet smarter this season. Start your 7-day risk-free trial and place your next bet with confidence. Sign up today and you'll get Point Spread Weekly, which is our digital betting guide with NFL power ratings and consensus picks from our experts. 24/7 live video streaming with full replays of all VSiN shows. The College Football Betting Guide with previews, predictions, and betting strategies. Daily emails with best bets from all of our shows, hosts, and guests. Plus, you can always access our parlay calculator, prop bet search engine, and pick tracker on vsin.com. Visit vsin.com/subscribe to start your risk-free trial today. That's vsin.com/subscribe. Welcome back to the program, Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, James Salinas with you today. And James, we talked about this, I want to say 2 weeks ago now, in regards to the potential of a lot of injuries because guys not being in football shape. It's one thing to be in shape in terms of working out and conditioning, but you're not in football shape, and that's certainly playing out in the first few weeks of the season so far.
Well, football shape from a number of, not only football shape from a physical nature, but also the tackling, right? Yep. Being able to take on those hits, the speed of the game. You can't simulate in that in practice. The energy amps up, the adrenaline's going, everybody's moving a click faster, or a couple clicks faster, probably. You would know better than I would with that. Like, how do you, when you were playing, think about it, Pritch, when you were playing, like, speed of the game, when you were doing preseason games, at least you're having some reps, but it's not a whole lot of reps. So were there other things that you could do in practice that helps really simulate that kind of speed? Or is it just once the week one starts, you hope you're as prepared as you can be? You tell me, what did that look like when you were a player?
Well, as a player, you can never simulate game speed because the emotion and certainly your competition at level is different than practice. So the speed of the game picks up. I think as you have a number of years in the league, you get used to it and you know what to expect. From a rookie standpoint, you don't know what to expect. You're going 100 miles an hour anyway, a lot of the times. But in regards to football shape, the injuries, you know, the torque, the force of impact, all those things you kind of get used to or certainly build a base from when you have a traditional offseason, when you're in training camp and you have some live situations in training camp. And then on top of that, you have preseason games. As a player, as a receiver, I needed to know when I had good feet, I had a good balance. I knew that if I slipped, I was going to be okay. Now, as a player, not being in football shape today because of the pandemic, if you step wrong or if somebody impacts you at the same time as you're making a cut, you just don't have that security that you're going to have that foundation. And we're seeing a number of ACL injuries, MCL injuries, strained muscles, soft tissue, pectoral muscles, just all over the board, across the board, guys, because they're not in football shape, they're just getting prone to these injuries in these situations. So a number of guys from the 49ers are down. The 49ers are actually staying on the road as well as they face the Jets coming up. I know Brent Musburger, who was on the show earlier, was talking about the footwork and certainly the stadium and that field and that surface. But I'm concerned with the psyche of the 49ers remaining on the road, knowing that a number of their star players are injured right now.
Well, and they have to play there again next week because they're playing the Giants. So they're going to be playing at the same field. If there were issues with that, I mean, fields, the technology for fields has come a long way. You know, I know that some of these injuries can just be flukish in nature, especially with how strong and how fast these guys are. And especially with the knees. I mean, our knees are really, they're not built and designed to take the torque and the speed that these players play at. You know, when I blew my knee out 30 years ago when I was in high school playing football, and I was returning a kickoff now, and I didn't get hit by anybody. I just planted and it blew up. But I was playing, part of that was I didn't have great shoes. I didn't have a lot of money as a kid, so I didn't have great shoes. But also the surface was terrible. It was basically this green carpet put over concrete. Now, we've come a long way from 30 years plus to where we're at with this new technology with like some of the, it's kind of like this rubber, some synthetic rubber from tires that are on there. But how much of the field surface actually plays into that too? You have to change your for grass surfaces, certain types of cleats, longer cleats when you're talking about screw-ons if it's bad weather. Like, is that something that we kind of factor? That's why I wanted to ask Brent about Allegiant Field, because I just assumed it was going to be an artificial turf. So it was interesting for him to point out that really it was Mark Davis wanting to have real grass. But thinking about it from a player's perspective, how much of that plays into your mind when you're looking at the surface of a game and how that might impact not only your performance, but also kind of the game plan as a team, as an offense, and really as a defense too?
Sure. I think it could highly affect the 49ers. You know, staying on the road, it's off the board, but spread at -4 if you want to grab that number for the 49ers and the Giants coming up. But you think about Kittle is hurt and injured. The running back, Mostert, is hurt. Garoppolo is hurt. Bosa is hurt. And, you know, just a couple other guys banged up. And you don't know the extent of the injury. You would love to go back to Santa Clara and really get evaluated by the doctors. But here you go. You're on the road. And I don't know from a psyche standpoint how you handle that. But certainly you're going to go right back to the scene of the crime as you watch players get hurt as you face the Giants. So any leanings or an inclination to participate in this matchup, James?
No, not this game. And I think this speaks to, and honestly, Pritch, as a sports bettor, I used to do futures in the NFL. Mm-hmm. I've had some really good cashes way back in the day, but I've eliminated that out of my playbook as far as sports gaming is concerned, because football, NFL is so volatile with injuries. There's so much that goes into, as a handicapper, breaking down matchups and looking at players and schemes and coaches and all these different things. But then once the games kick off, it's out of your control. There's so many things that are going to happen, like injuries. And so now that's why I really just stay away from doing any types of futures or anything outside of a week-to-week basis of trying to analyze these games. So this game, this next weekend with the Niners and the Giants, obviously from a talent standpoint, before all these injuries, the leaning was definitely going to go towards the 49ers. But you're right. Where is their psyche right now? I don't know. They got to be concerned with just their overall health as a team and try to get back to Santa Clara in 2 weeks in one piece, or what's remaining of their roster in one piece. Not a game that I'm going to touch. Not a game that I'm probably even going to mess with come next weekend.
Yeah, and then also on the other side, you had Saquon Barkley blow out his knee. Now, he did that on grass. And that injury was the force that I was talking about as he's cutting, and then he's engaged with Jackson there. That impact and all that pressure, all that weight on that joint that does not have the foundation that you typically build up, certainly during a typical offseason. So big blow there for the Giants with Saquon Barkley. Big blows all over the place for the San Francisco 49ers trying to get back to the Super Bowl, but got a long road ahead of them as they try to rebound there. James and I are going to come back with more NFL results and recap, and then certainly look ahead to Betting Across America presented by BetMGM right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Let another Monday night kick off without getting a piece of the action at BetMGM Sports. New customers who place a $1 moneyline wager on either the Saints or the Raiders will win $100 in free bets if either team scores a touchdown, regardless of the wager's outcome. Just be sure to use bonus code VSIN100 when you place your bet. Then just kick back and after kickoff, root for either team to score a touchdown. Download the BetMGM app today and use bonus code VSIN100 to win $100 in free bets if either team scores a touchdown on Monday Night Football. Must be at least 21 years old, physically located in Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, Nevada, or West Virginia. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado and Nevada, 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey and West Virginia, or 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. Welcome back to the program, Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard with you, along with James Salinas, 2015 Super Contest winner. James Salinas out in Denver, Colorado. And James, this underdog cover story is interesting to me. You think about the action from the National Football League, some crazy games, starting off with the Cowboys and the Falcons. So much to talk about with that matchup, but you saw a line that opened up -7.5 for Dallas and closed at -2.5, and just a crazy, crazy outcome in favor of the Cowboys.
Well, where's Dan Quinn? Who's coaching their special teams, by the way? I didn't understand. Did you see
nobody
their onside kick? Nobody. Yeah, exactly right. I think how much of this is preparation too? We know that not a lot of practice time, definitely no preseason games, but I think of all the defense, offense, special teams probably gets the least amount of attention for practices, probably based on for this year in particular. I think that was one thing we were kind of concerned with, was what was going to be the kicking game and what was that going to look like on game days, and are these folks prepared? You got a lot of young players coming in that haven't had a lot of time to play, a lot of undrafted players that are filling in roles. You see a lot of that with special teams. It kind of fills out depth, and they play a lot on special teams. It was obviously to me that they were not prepared. They didn't understand the rules. They could go ahead and jump on it. It's the kicking team can't jump on the ball before 10 yards.
I know.
Right? But and so that's part of it. There's part, right, Mike? But there's part of it. The other part is, again, I think we just see these collapses with some of these teams. I mean, Atlanta was doing whatever they wanted in that first half. They jumped on them big time, and then it was almost a flashback to the Super Bowl a few years ago when they had that 28-3 lead against the Patriots. And I don't know if those things, sometimes those things never go away. I mean, maybe those, I know as a sports bettor, there's lots of games we've won, but when you lose, especially those tough beats, those stick with you sometimes, and maybe they influence you. In this case, for these guys, I don't know, are there still ghosts from that Super Bowl for Dan Quinn and company that just can't let that go? And once things start to spiral, they obviously don't have a way to be able to put a foot on the on that brake to stop right. that momentum going against them.
Well, it's interesting too. I mean, you think about this matchup and that line movement, which was incredible. Even the total got bet up to 53.5 there. But James, I had questions about Atlanta's defense going into the season because of how many people they've lost. You mentioned Quinn. You know, maybe on the hot seat, who knows? Raheem Morris is his DC. The thing about defensive coordinators that are head coaches, if you think about Vic Fangio, for instance, you're so focused on calling a game or managing a game from that side of the ball that you lose track on how to make sure everybody's on the same page when it comes to every situation out there. The head coach's job is to manage his staff and not just, you know, manage the defensive side of the ball. And I think Quinn is caught up in that. Raheem Morris, I think, would do a better job. But, again, they're depleted from a talent standpoint defensively. So here you have Quinn, who should have been over with the special teams and a hands team, reminding everybody, hey, just jump on the ball. Make sure, you know, you're reminded of, okay, if it doesn't go 10 yards, you're okay to jump on it. Certainly executing that portion of the game. But the game management from a head coaching standpoint, there's some coaches out there that are lacking in that department. I'm just curious if you've noticed that. Certainly McCarthy back with Dallas, he mismanaged a game earlier. He coached better this game against Atlanta, but certainly some betting angles when it comes down to coaching.
Well, you have to. There's so many things that you look at for NFL handicapping: offense, defense, special teams, matchups, injuries, so many different things going on, scheduling, flat spots, all those types of things. But then you also have to handicap coaches and what are their tendencies? What do they do in late game situations? How do they manage the clock? What do they do for going on fourth and one? Do they kick? Do they run the ball? Are they punting? So many different scenarios. And I think so for instance, looking at the Chargers yesterday, a lot of criticism there for Coach Anthony Lynn, where there was fourth and one somewhere around there, 35 or 40 in that overtime. Didn't go for it. Punted the ball. You know what happened. Kansas City drove down, and there's actually a kicker on Kansas City. There's one kicker in the league I think we can trust. He was drilling those balls. But definitely coaching acumen comes into this, and how do they perform in late-game situations making the calls? Seattle game last night, there was a third and one where the Seahawks are trying to ice the game away. Now you say, in hindsight, you say, well, it worked out for them because they won the game. But they went for it on third and one instead of pounding the football. Mm-hmm. I don't know, Super Bowl hangover again from their matchup with the Patriots a few years back. They lofted, and I know Russell Wilson had a spectacular game, and he right. was hitting deep balls left and right. But they went over the top on that one. It was incomplete. I wonder if there would have been as much criticism for Pete Carroll's decision to throw the football rather than just run for the yard if they, in fact, would have lost that game, which came down to really the last play in 1 yard with Cam Newton getting
right,
stopped.
Right, and he called timeout prior to that, too. And you go back to that Super Bowl that you mentioned against New England and wanting to get Russell Wilson the MVP. You wonder if Pete Carroll is coaching this year to try to get Russell Wilson MVP because of decisions like you just mentioned. I mean, that's something to keep an eye on for sure. Chiefs and the Chargers, this is a great game in overtime. Chiefs open at -6.5, close at -9. I don't know what to make of this game yet in terms of Justin Herbert. I thought he played well. I thought the Chargers are a decent team either way. The coaching decision to go to Herbert early on, right before the game, that was interesting. And then also the ability for the Kansas City Chiefs and their coaching staff to stay according to the plan, stick to it, and eventually you'll win this with the guy that you have at quarterback.
Yeah, well, I think we saw some vulnerability for the Kansas City Chiefs, especially on the offensive line, in particular on the right side. They were and you're not going to find much of a better tandem as far as pass rushers go with when it comes to the Chargers and Ingram and Bosa on those corners. They're terrific. So no surprise there. It's a division game. I think you know that Kansas City's going to get the best game from every one of their opponents, especially their division rivals. So not surprising in that respect. I think that as far as the Chargers were concerned, you know, having to thrust the rookie in there, Tyrod Taylor, something happened with his chest. He was having difficulty breathing. Maybe that's some of the air quality. We know California is just totally on fire, unfortunately, out there. So maybe it was a cause of that. Maybe it was better for Herbert to not know that he was going to be the starter prior to, so he didn't have to think about things and rethink about things and question things throughout the week leading up to his first game. It's like, oh, here it is. You got to jump in and you got to go play. So sometimes it's better from that respect for a young player, especially a quarterback that didn't have to do a whole lot of preparation knowing that he was going to be the starter leading into the game.
Yeah, he had that one critical mistake when you're thrown across your body or back across the field, rolling to your left in traffic. All you had to do was just run out of bounds. Yep. But that comes with experience of being able to manage the game. Moving along, Steelers, Broncos, another underdog cover. I saw a strong trend with the Broncos in terms of road dog covering in this situation. They lose quarterback Drew Lock, but a reliable dog here. When you think about the Broncos playing hard, Steelers open -5, close -6.5. A good performance by the Broncos, even though they lost the game there.
Well, and Driscoll came in, and I thought he played really well. Now, he's been around the league a few years, but he hasn't had a whole lot of starts or a whole lot of action during his tenure as an NFL quarterback. Yeah, Denver was competitive. They could have easily laid down. They had a lot. They obviously have a lot of injuries going on, too. We don't even need to mention. We started with Von Miller and on the way down. It was a competitive performance. These are some of the reasons why, when I'm talking about sports betting in the NFL, I don't really like to take a lot of favorites. Not big favorites like that. I don't usually lay more than 3 or 4 points total if I'm looking at a favorite. And in this case, I think we saw not only in that game, there was a backdoor cover there. So credit to Driscoll to step in and really make some throws and make some plays. But also across the league, we see a lot of these teams. There are some plays in game yesterday that I was looking at where if you see, so Jacksonville, for instance, I got them at 13.5, I think, round halftime or maybe started that third quarter. No, it was at halftime, as a matter of fact. We talked about it on the air, Betting Across America yesterday with Tim Murray, that I look at that those spots right there where if you have a backdoor cover, does that team to cover that, get that late touchdown, that garbage touchdown, as we say, do they have the capacity to do that? Do they have the quarterback that can make those plays when it doesn't really matter with Minshew Mania? And so in that respect, that's some of the things that I look for when betting underdogs. Can they get that backdoor cover? In that case, they did. And Minshew, they brought them all the way back and actually tied the game. So it was a terrific comeback by Jacksonville. That's a team that plays with a lot of heart and a lot of edge to them. Everybody thinks they're tanking, but except for the players. The players don't. They're still professionals. They're still competitors, and they bring it. They brought it yesterday as well.
Yeah, those players are playing for jobs right now. and you know, yeah, the organization might be tanking, but those players aren't, because they want to get paid. They want to stay employed. But real quick on the backdoor covers or underdogs, whether road or home dog situations, when you see teams putting up that effort, is that something that you'll notate and use in the future?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yep. Looking at some of those other teams, you know, with the Giants, for instance, now without Saquon Barkley, they were able to come back. I think they were down 17-0.
Right.
I had them in the contest at 5.5. So good to have them back to recover. They actually got down to the last play right there at the goal line and almost won the game. That's how close they came back. Here's another team with the Bears figuring out a way to try to dump it in the end. But yeah, that definitely plays into seeing some of those trends. Do these teams have that capacity to be able to come back late?
Yeah. Hour number two, we're going to talk about more NFL and certainly get into the blowout situation. I had a friend who won a 5-team teaser parlay, and he can thank all these favorites that cashed to help him cash those tickets. Coming back, more Betting Across America presented by BetMGM on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.